glad God has blessed us to return this evening. We are grateful for your presence and grateful for your participation in our worship service this evening. We appreciate Brother William Prowl leading us in meaningful selections in our song service. Thankful for Brother James Waller, who read our scripture lesson this evening, and for the practical and relevant prayer led by Brother Drexel Green. And we certainly appreciate all of you participating in the song service and listening attentively to the reading of the scripture and going along with in your minds in harmony with the one who led us in prayer. I want to talk to you this evening about individual responsibility. Individual responsibility. And we are basing our lesson this evening on Matthew 26, verses 19 through 25. Matthew 26, verses 19 through 25. Jesus is spending his last few days on the earth before his crucifixion. At this particular point, this was on the eve of his betrayal. Judas had already showed his hand. Judas had already made his agreement with the enemies of Jesus. In verse 19, we read, "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. And this was determined by the foreknowledge and divine counsel of God. It was going to happen. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, and I might remark, he answered and said disingenuously, Master, is it I? Feigning sincerity. He knew exactly who it was. He knew exactly that he was the culprit. He knew exactly that he was the rat in the house. And I'm not talking about a small animal that has a pointed nose and a long thin tail. That's not the kind of rat of whom I speak. This rat of whom I speak is a person who is not loyal or who cannot be trusted. A rat is defined as a contemptible person, one who betrays or deserts friends or associates. A canary, betrayer, informant, a rat fink, a snitch, a squealer. All of these are synonyms for a rat. What Jesus was saying, in essence, is that there is a rat in the house. There is a betrayer in the house. There is a rat in our midst. There is a rat that has infiltrated our group. And they began to say, because they did not individually want to conceive of themselves as being that disloyal. So they began to examine themselves. They began to ask themselves. And then they began to ask the Lord. And I think it is very interesting that they were very sorrowful. And I think that they would exclude Brother Judas because he knew his identity. He knew his plan. He knew what he had in mind. He knew the degree to which he was greedy. He knew that he had no real loyalty to the Lord. He knew he was concerned principally for Judas and nobody else. All of the disciples, and my heart breaks when I think about it, all of them began to ask sincerely, Lord, is it I? Jesus said, one of you is a rat. One of you is a snitch. One of you is a betrayer. One of you is a squealer. One of you is a rat thing. And so everybody began to ask, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And these guys were serious. These guys were sincere. They could not wrap their minds around the idea of them individually being guilty of being a rat thing. They realized what was at stake. And so it affected them emotionally, traumatizing them. So they were not just sorrowful, but they were exceeding sorrowful. And every one of them said, Lord, is it I? We don't like to be blameworthy. We don't like to think of ourselves as being guilty. We don't like to think of ourselves as being responsible for great wrong or great evil. But the thing that impresses me when I look at the contextual setting of this particular gathering is the fact, and it's interesting, is the fact that nobody looked at Judas. There's no indication that anybody looked at Judas and wondering, I wonder if it's Judas. I wonder if it's Judas. I bet it's Judas. It wouldn't surprise me at all to discover that Judas is the rat. Judas is the canary. Judas is the betrayer. Judas is the snitch. That's probably who it is. No, nobody looked at Judas. Nary a one of the disciples looked at Judas. And the reason for it was the fact that they were preoccupied with examination of themselves. They were preeminently concerned about their own spiritual condition. They were concerned about their guilt or their innocence. They were concerned about them being implicated in the betrayal of the Son of Man. And so they didn't ask, Lord, is it old Judas? Is he the culprit? Is he the one? They didn't ask those questions. Each of them was singularly focused on himself, asking individually, seriously, with solemnity, Lord, is it I? And I can imagine how Judas felt. Judas felt out of place, I believe. Judas felt uncomfortable. Then everybody's asking, Master, is it I? It would have seemed rather bizarre, rather strange, if Judas had just sat there and not said anything. I think he had determined that, I mean, if I don't speak up, then they're going to start looking at me. If I don't speak up, they're going to start being suspicious of me. They might think I am the rat, and I really am. But they don't know that. But I would give myself away if I just sat there and if I just sit here and be quiet. So Judas was constrained. Judas was compelled to sound the same question that the others had asked. So he had fit in very nicely. And so he said, Lord, is it I? He was not serious. He was not sincere. He didn't want eyes turned upon him. He wanted to fit in. But Jesus said, I'll tell you who it is. He that dippeth his hand with me in the common dish, that's the fella. That's the culprit. That's the rat. That's the snitch. That's the betrayer. That's who it is. Judas said, Lord, Master, is it I? Nobody looked at Judas. They were busy and preoccupied with looking at themselves. What is the point? What conclusion do we draw that nobody looked at Judas? They were consciously cognizant of their own individual responsibilities. That's the attitude and spirit that should characterize each and every one of us. we need to be consciously aware of our individual responsibility to God. I can't look at Drexel. I can't look at Robert. I can't look at Consuela. I can't look at Lydia and wonder what she's guilty of. Wonder if she is rampant. Wonder if she, and I know she's not, Lydia. Wonder if she's the betrayer. I'm concerned not about whether Solomon is guilty of something, not about whether his relationship with God is what it ought to be, not about whether Solomon is doing what he ought to do, not about whether Solomon is carrying out his responsibilities and obligations to God, notwithstanding the fact that I am my brother's keeper, but my main business is to be concerned about my business and to make sure that I keep my business straight. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul admonishes, examine yourselves. Don't examine other folks. Don't examine your wife. Don't examine your daughter. Don't examine your brother. Don't examine your sister. Don't examine your parents, your mama and your papa, but examine yourself. Amen. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, except you be rejects. We need to periodically examine ourselves and ask the question before God, Master, is it I? Is it I who's being negligent? Is it I who betrayed the relationship we supposed to have with each other by engaging in activities that are out of harmony with your divine will? Is it I who am living a reprobate life? We need to examine ourselves. In the context of the supper, of course, this passage in Matthew 26 speaks of the institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul, in reminding the Corinthians how to properly partake of the Lord's Supper in a way that honors God and Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, he says, but let a man examine himself. I have no business examining you as we are partaking of the Lord's Supper, or as we are beginning to partake or preparing to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let every man examine himself. Let a man examine himself, not his neighbor, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not properly discerning the body of Christ. We all have individual responsibilities before God, to live in a way that honors him and honors Christ and honors his word. There'll be a day of accounting, a day of reckoning. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. Not according to that his mama has done, or his daddy has done, or his brother or sister has done, or his son or daughter has done, but according to that he hath done. Individual responsibilities. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, we need to ask ourselves, in view of the coming judgment, Lord, is it I? Is it I that need to make some corrections? Is it I that need to repent? Is it I that need to rededicate my life? Is it I that am in need of recommitting my life to you? I'm concerned primarily about and focused on me. Now, if you can ask that question personally this evening, insofar as your relationship with God is concerned, whether it is what it should be, whether some serious adjustments need to be made, you can ask the question sincerely, seriously, Master, Lord, is it I? You answer it as we stand and as we sing.
Crimson glow, if you'll give me.